The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
This is Brad Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toe Inside Wrestling Talk. Today's guest hails from the great state of Iowa. She's a pro wrestling ring announcer, a commentator, a manager, and a referee. She's also someone who's not scared of other humans like I am. So let's welcome today's guest, High Voltage Cat. Part of me that is so embarrassed that I just played that.
No, I love it. Those are some of my favorite clips.
You know what the problem was? Something's been wrong with my IWTV on my phone, you know? And so, like, I can't record anything. So it sucks because the first show that I ever went to at New Wave Pro was, I think, in May. And I think in, like, the opening match, you got in between, I forget who it was. Anyways, I wanted to show that, but I couldn't record off IWTV and it's driving me crazy.
Oh no. Yeah, no, it's fine. I love it. The fact that you put effort into that, it, like, makes me happy.
Okay, good. Do you work every weekend?
Almost every weekend. Yeah. Like the past couple months I've had like one weekend where I've had no bookings, but everything else has just been nonstop.
Was that one weekend on purpose? Like you need a break, or was it like
sometimes it just falls in between like my usual companies and like there's nowhere like kind of close by that I really want to go to. So I just end up like picking up a shift at work or something.
Yeah, totally. And do you feel bad if you don't work?
Oh my God, yes. I feel like that impending, like, oh my God, I'm not trying hard enough. Like, oh no, people are going to forget about me if I'm not somewhere every weekend. And then I like sit back and I'm like, no, this is good. Like, I don't need to get burnt out. I don't need to, you know, be traveling 6 to 8 hours every weekend. Like, I need one a month to just refresh. And if I get that, that's great. If I don't get that, then like, I don't feel bad, but like, it's complicated.
Yeah. Well, it's not like, you know, if you miss one weekend, the business is going to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, exactly. Like everyone's going to forget about Kat and all my bookings are going to get canceled. And
how far in advance do you, like, are you like booked through?
I've already started. I have at least one show per month for the next year, just because my usual companies have started putting out their yearly schedules.
Yeah.
And then, like, there are, like, two or three that I've, like, actively been, like, sought out for. And they're like, hey, we want you for next year. And I'm like, oh, crap. Okay, cool. So, like, I think, like, through February is, like, right now, like, I have a couple dates already.
Is it a cool feeling when, like, a promotion reaches out to you?
Oh, my God, yes. It makes me feel like I'm somebody. And I'm not like some ref. Like people like see my work and they know who I am, and or you know, not just my refing, my ring announcing, or like my wrestling or other things like that. And people are like, oh wow, like yeah, I want this person on my show.
Yeah, that must be like so flattering.
Oh my gosh, yes, it makes me it it makes me feel great. And then I like humble myself immediately afterwards. And I'm like, I can't get too big of a head here.
Yeah. So let's get into your background here. Not the day you were born, but you know, shortly after. Did you grow up in Iowa?
Yes. Yep. Born and raised in Davenport, Iowa.
Okay. Where is Davenport in the state? I've been to Iowa City.
Okay. So Iowa City is like an hour west of where Davenport is. Iowa mm-hmm. or Davenport, Iowa is right on the border of Iowa and Illinois in a little place called the Quad Cities.
Oh, okay. Sure. I grew up just north of Chicago, but now I live in the middle of Illinois, in Champaign.
Cool.
So what's Davenport like? Is there a building taller than five stories? And I don't mean to be a jerk about that.
No, you're fine. Davenport, it has like a population of 90,000. So it's like decently sized town. I mean, there's stuff going on. There's not a lot of stuff going on, but it's nice. It's a good middle ground.
Did you have like a fun childhood growing up there?
Oh God, yes. Like my parents always signed me up for theater classes and dance classes. So I had those to do. Like there was, there's something going on all the time here. And like, I didn't get into like independent wrestling until my teenage years, but there's a couple companies around here that do runs. So like, I was able to like start going to those too.
Were your parents from, Davenport?
So, my dad, yes, was born and raised in the Quad Cities. Mm-hmm. My mom is actually from Alabama, and then her family moved up to Illinois when she was a teenager. And then she kind of moved around from there, but mostly she settled in the Quad Cities.
And then your dad made her his.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Good. And their love brought you. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Nope. I'm an only child.
Really?
Yep.
How was that? And that probably is a stupid question, but like, how was it as far as like getting attention or being lonely, you know?
Oh, I loved being an only child. Like it was nice because like my parents, you know, they didn't have to spend money on other kids. They just like mm-hmm. got to spoil me a little bit. But I mean, it was fine. Like I definitely just learned to like appreciate like myself and be able to like play with myself and become mm-hmm. like my own person on my own. Like it kind of, you know, I struggled a little bit like making friends outside of that. But then as I came a teenager and I like got more confident with who I was like, oh no, like this is easy. Like this is fine.
And were your parents present parents? You know what I mean? Like that they were there for, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And plays and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah. My, they both work full-time jobs, obviously, but mm-hmm. like they were always there for me and always supportive of everything that I did, but especially like with the theater and stuff, it was nice to look out in the crowd and see my mom and my dad out there.
Yeah. And what kind of dance did you do?
I did like ballet and jazz and hip hop. So kind of like the main three that a lot of kids end up doing when they're younger. Yeah. But it definitely helped with like keeping me athletic and then also like getting my rhythm and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, it probably helped with like your footwork.
Yes, absolutely.
So we have this little cat here. How would your friends describe you as a kid?
I was definitely the weird kid. Okay. I was very like loud and very like spontaneous and very mm-hmm. outgoing around my friends. Mm-hmm. For like kids who didn't know me, I came off as really quiet at first, but once I got comfortable with people, like it was like a whole new person coming out.
Sure. Did you go to prom?
I never went to prom, actually. I went to homecoming once, my freshman year. And then kind of after that, I was just like, this isn't really my scene.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I never did either. I don't know why I thought to ask that. but yeah, that is so what age did like wrestling kind of come into your orbit?
So when I was like 13, my mom, like I had started to become like, you know, a distant teenager and I was mm-hmm. like not talking to my parents all the time. And my mm-hmm. mom was like, I need to find something to like bond with my daughter. So she turned wrestling on the TV one day and was like, Christina, come in here, watch this with me. It was an episode of Raw back in like 2007. Okay. And I remember the first match that I saw was a Jeff Hardy match. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I like, this guy is like awesome. And then just from there, we started to watch wrestling every week. We watched Raw. Then I found out about SmackDown. Then I started watching TNA. And then just it all bloomed from there.
Did your mom know what she was putting on when she, you know, did this for the first time, when you guys watched for the first time? Was it new to her too? And she's like, hey, we'll just do this.
So she had watched like a little bit of wrestling when she was younger. Like my grandpa would like put on wrestling sometimes, and like, mm-hmm. you know, they would like sit and watch it. I know like when my aunt was younger, my mom took her to a pay-per-view that they were showing at the local field house around here. Mm-hmm. And like, they got into it that way. So like my mom vaguely knew about wrestling, but she wasn't like a super fan of wrestling.
And so did you guys, were you pretty regular watching together?
Oh yeah. We watched every week, multiple times a week, whenever it would come on. It like, it became like our bonding thing for
sure. Do you remember like you're watching Raw and then you think, oh, there's a whole other show? Oh,
yeah,
there's a whole other promotion. Was that like mind blowing to you?
Oh my God, it was incredible. Like I started to like go online and I would look up like, oh, like what is TNA? And like, who are other people that have wrestled for like the WWE? And like, and then I discovered like, oh, there's these places like around the country that are doing this on like a smaller scale. And like, I found out what Chikara was, and it just like, it all like waterfalled.
Did you in high school, did people know that you were into pro wrestling?
Yes, they knew. And like, there were people who like, who were my friends who like didn't mind it or like didn't say anything about it. And then there was like, you know, the people who were like, you know, wrestling's fake, right? And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I still like it.
You know, that movie Tom Cruise really didn't die.
Right. You know? Like, you know that Vin Diesel can't really like drive a torpedo, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Yeah, I was like, wrestling took over my life. And then like all throughout high school, like people knew that I was like the wrestling kid and now, I wanted to be a wrestler.
Would you wear wrestling shirts to school and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, all the time.
I was so self-conscious that I never would wear a wrestling shirt to high school, because I always felt like I'd get made fun of.
I like, at some point I just like stopped caring, and I was just like, you know what? I like wrestling. Everybody knows I like wrestling. Like, they can think what they want about me.
Yeah, totally. Were you a good student?
I was a good student, like in terms of like being like kind of smart and like kind of gifted. But like in high school, I started to like definitely get worn out by the end of it, and I just kind of stopped caring about my work and everything. I was just like, I just want to get out of here.
Yeah, totally. And did you have a plan for what you're going to do after graduation?
I did. I planned on finding a wrestling school. I planned on getting trained. Like, that was my main goal. And then
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Luckily, like in my junior year, I had found out that there was a wrestling school being opened up around me. And so I got excited about that, and I eventually signed up for it.
When you were watching wrestling with like your mom and stuff, where's your dad at this time?
He would have to go to work, or like he would be like doing his own thing. Like, he would, you know, he's like big into bowling, and he like ran a pro shop for a little while. So like, he would be doing that like in his spare time sometimes, like drilling balls for people. So,
but would he like watch if he was around, like would he watch with you guys? Did he humor you?
He would watch it sometimes. He's actually the reason I went to my first independent show when I was 14, because two of his friends that he had known ran a company around here. So then he was like, oh, I'll get you a ticket. And he dropped me off, and I got to watch the show, and then I started to go to that every month.
And did your like mom ever come with you to like indie shows?
She never came with me to the indie shows. She would take me, like she would get me tickets to like Raw and SmackDown, and like we would travel, like we would go on road trips and make like whole vacations around like going to shows. And it ended up being like a big part of like my teenage years, was doing these road trips with my mom.
Oh, that's awesome. You have a cool mom. Did she have any plans for you after high school? Did she like want you to continue her education, or
she had wanted me to go to college. But doing what, she didn't know. She knew I was creative and I was a very creative person, and she knew I liked to write. So she was like, oh, you could go to, you know, to school for writing. And that was like the plan for a little bit before I realized, like, oh no, I can actually be like a wrestler. Like, this can be my dream. So like vaguely she wanted me to go to college for something, but it was never like a, you have to do this. Like, I need you to be a doctor or a lawyer or something. Yeah.
So what was your first pro wrestling experience on not being a fan? So like, what was your plan?
So that independent company that I started to go to around here, I kept going and going and going. And eventually, like when I turned like 16, they're like, hey, like, do you want to like be on the shows? Like, do you want to help out? And so I would like go collect like jackets and ring gear from like the corners and everything. Uh-huh. And then eventually they were like, you know what, like, do you want to be a manager? And I was like, yeah, sure. So like,
had you ever thought about that at that point, like performing?
I had thought about it and I was like excited to do it. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. But like, I had thought I was going to have to wait until I was older. You know what I mean? Sure. But they were like, yeah, no, like you seem ready for it. So like, I would go out and, you know, I didn't do very much, but I would go out and do manager stuff for a couple of my friends.
Was it, do you remember the first time you got into a wrestling ring?
Yes. And I was so nervous. I had no idea like how to get in right. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm actually in here. And I felt it and I felt the ropes. And I was just like, this is nuts. And of course I knew, I was like, this is nothing like a WWE ring. Like, it was one of the low rings. And like, yeah. I knew it was different, but it still felt cool to like be in one.
Oh, I'm sure like that's on my bucket list. I don't have a bucket list, but I'm just using that term. I'd love to get into a ring one time. So did you like prior to being a manager, did they have to like show you how to bump or anything like that prior?
So at that point when I started managing is when they were like, hey, do you want to learn how to bump and do you want to learn how to do this stuff? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. So after I started managing is when like I actually started going and like they showed me how to bump and they were doing like rolls with me and like just simple stuff like that, that like, you know, wasn't a liability for a teenager to be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it still like kind of got me in that right like mindset and headspace.
Any shock of performing in front of people?
So I was really lucky that it was always really small crowds for these shows that I would do. So like, I never really felt nervous. And I think it also helped having that theater background that I do and having performed in front of crowds of people before that, like, I didn't feel nervous. As I started to do bigger and bigger shows as I got older, I started to become more nervous, but like, then it kind of fades away once like that mindset kicks in of like, oh yeah, sure, I'm a performer, I know what I'm doing.
And then, so how long were you doing exclusively managing? What was the evolution of, you know, your different roles within the business?
So I managed, up until I was like 18, 19. I've always managed, like I've continued to manage, but like then when I was like 18, 19, I got like a ring announcing opportunity or two. And then that was also when I started to like do my first round of training proper. So like I got to, you know, actually do rolls and bumps and learn how to do moves and everything. After I moved from Iowa to Cleveland, I had started to do ring announcing more and managing more. And I got to do a bunch more different roles. Like once I moved to Cleveland,
did you have to change like workout habits or eating habits like to keep up with all of this?
Yes, absolutely. So
your system,
I was a chubby teenager. And then like, as I turned 18 and after I graduated high school, I was like, I should probably get in shape if I want to like actually take this seriously.
Yeah.
So I lost, I think, 80 pounds. Like, I dedicated myself to the gym and I changed my eating habits and I lost like 80 pounds before I started training the first time. And then from there, it's obviously fluctuated a little bit because we're humans and we get older or whatever, but like,
I hope.
Yeah. But I've managed to stay like in pretty okay shape since then, I think.
Yeah. Have you ever had an injury?
So I've only ever really had one serious injury that was wrestling related. I don't count concussions really, just because like in wrestling, I hate to say concussions are commonplace, but they're commonplace in wrestling. Mm-hmm. When I was training with AIW in Cleveland, I broke my foot. And that set me out about 3 months of progress. And that was very frustrating.
Like, was that depressing knowing you couldn't, like...
Yes. Especially, so my job, I worked retail at the time. I was a manager. And they wouldn't let me work if I wasn't able to... Because one of the requirements is, like, you have to be able to, like, climb up steps and walk a ladder. Yeah. And I wasn't able to do that with a broken foot. So I wasn't able to work, and I wasn't able to go to training for 3 months. And that was so frustrating.
Did you see how many judge shows there are during the day on TV?
I ended up watching a lot of anime when I had my foot broken. Cause I was like, I'm just going to watch all of these anime that I've wanted to watch and have never had time to watch before.
Oh, that's funny. Like, at what point then, okay, are you asked to ref a match?
So I didn't actually properly start reffing until I moved back to Iowa, 2 years ago.
Why did you move back to Iowa?
So my boyfriend at the time and I had broken up, so I had moved back to Iowa. Sure. But I had always had a ref shirt that I had bought just in case like anyone ever needed a spare ref. And I knew how to ref, but it was one of those things that like, I usually was ring announcing whenever I would go to shows or I was helping like set up and tear down the ring. So I was like, oh, you know, like I don't need to ref on these shows. This is fine.
Yeah. How did you know how to ref?
Just from picking it up. So it helps like having, you know, done wrestling training and like seeing how like referees do matches like on the outside perspective. And then also just picking up tips from like my referee friends that I know as well. Watching like Jake Clemens do his thing, and then like he'll give us pointers like at the school sometimes. So like it was really just picking up stuff as I went and then going from there.
When you had to first do ref a match, do you ever get lost early? Like when you were first?
Not really. No. Mm-hmm. Whenever I ref matches, and even when I first started out, I would listen to the wrestlers call the entire match. And so I knew like, okay, this spot's going to happen and this spot's going to happen. And then like from there, like I kind of knew how the match was going to go. And then I never really got lost with it. Obviously, you know, if there was like something that got messed up or, you know, they had to change something on the fly, like we would kind of have to work on the fly. But that, I feel like that's part of the benefit of being like a, like trained as a wrestler as well, is when they need to work on the fly, I know how to work on the fly. We all know how to improvise and still do our jobs properly. So it's never been anything like super egregious.
What's the most difficult part of reffing?
Just keeping up with everybody, honestly. Because like, you know, like wrestling is obviously very physically intensive. I know this and everybody else knows this, but like usually like somebody only has to wrestle one time on the show versus a referee who's doing two or three or four matches. So and like it's people don't realize how physically exhausting that is too.
Do you feel like comfortable though now?
Oh yeah.
Okay. And it's still like, is there a challenge from match to match of how you're going to ref? Like, is it, you're doing different styles and different things?
Yes. Depending on like who is in the match, what kind of a match it is, you know, like you're going to ref a singles match different. You're going to ref a tag match different than you're going to ref, you know, like a hardcore match, you know, like all these stipulations. You also have to take into account like who's in the match. Like, do you have two vets that are going to be working? Do you have two people who are newer that are going to be working? Is it people that you know and people you don't know? There have been times that, you know, like two vets are working and all they ask me to do is give them time cues. And I'm like, okay, cool. And they don't need me for anything else. Versus, you know, if I'm working with someone who's less than a year in and they forget a spot, I can help call it to them, or I can tell them like, hey, slow down, or, you know, like,
yeah.
You adjust based on like who's in it, what kind of a match it is. Like, you kind of just have to make that judgment call. And like, that comes easier as you do it as well.
And who gives you like feedback after a match? Is it different? Like, I know like when you're actually wrestling, you get feedback. Hey, this is the match went like this, blah, blah, blah. Who do you go to get like critique?
If there's another ref on the show who I trust, mm-hmm. and who's been doing it a while, I'll usually ask like, hey, did you see any of my stuff? And usually like, you know, they do, like Aaron Greider is very good about it. And then, Sean Patrick O'Brien is also very good about it. And they're two of my favorite people to work with on shows. Or like, if I don't really know the refs, or like, I don't, you know, get a feel for them, I'll ask the promoter. I'm like, hey, did you watch it? Like, how did you think of it? And I also always make a point to go up to the people in my match after the match is over. And I'm like, hey guys, like, how did I do? How are you guys feeling? I always want to check on them and make sure they're okay. And then like, mm-hmm. if they have anything to say to me, I always want to be there to like hear it too, good or bad.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay. So say you could only have one role in the entire business, wrestler, ref, manager, commentator, ring announcer, anything, what would it be? Or can you not answer that question?
That's tough because mm-hmm. like there's aspects of every role that I do that I really love. Mm-hmm. Right now, like, because I haven't like really wrestled that much, mm-hmm. my favorite thing to do is ring announcing. I love ring announcing. But also I love reffing, and you know, sure. I guess I would say ring announcer, but like that'll probably change in an hour or a week.
Yeah, totally.
Depending on my mood.
Did the ring announcing come easy to you?
Oh God, yes. Ring announcing is so easy to me. Like with the theater background and that stuff, yeah. and like knowing how to just be engaging and knowing how to be loud and how to be fun and how to host a show. Like it's the easiest thing in the world to me, at least.
Totally. Now, is it like it's easier for you to keep up? Like, did you ever have to like turn off, you know, watch, put a match on TV, turn the volume down and call it?
I used to do that all the time. I would mute my favorite matches and I would like pretend I'm ring announcing it. And then I would like pretend I'm commentating it. In training, they would have us take notes on matches as part of, you know, our curriculum. So like that was easy to be able to do that too. Cause then I look at my notes and I'm like, oh, well, here's what I could say about the match, like depending on that, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is your commentating, is it you or a character of you?
Honestly, it's just me, and I crank mm-hmm. it up a little bit in terms of like obnoxious and fun.
Yeah, totally.
like and I feel like that's kind of like the best way you can do a role like that, is like just being yourself and then cranking it up a little bit. Because like, you know, like some people get a little iffy about commentators having like gimmicks that they do. So I feel like it's better to, like, for me personally, just play it safe and just be me and have fun with it.
What does your mom think of you? I mean, what is she like really proud of you that like you guys started watching wrestling one night and now you're so heavily involved in the wrestling business?
My mom is proud of me. My dad is proud of me. They both get worried about me more mm-hmm. than anything, obviously, because I'm making these long drives every weekend and I'm, you know, putting my body on the line every weekend, essentially. So like worried, but they're proud, even if they don't always fully understand like everything that goes on with wrestling.
Have they traveled to see you?
Yes. My mom went to Cleveland to visit me when I was living there, and then she also actually attended one of her first ever independent show while she was there, because I was training with AIW at the time. So she went to an AIW show, which was quite an experience.
Oh, really? Why? What, something bad?
So just with AIW, it's like the atmosphere of the shows is just very like party and very loud and very edgy and cool, and like, it was not like the wrestling she was used to seeing, because she's used to, you know, PG era WWE. And then she's coming to an independent show where Nick Gage is getting on the mic and dropping F-bombs and you know, doing thumbtacks and glass and everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Was she, like, blown away?
She was mind blown. Like, she did not know what to think.
Oh my God. She didn't do any heroin or anything that night.
No, thank
No,
God,
okay.
no. Bill Alfonso did flirt with her though. So I was like, "Mom,
Really?
if you want to go back to Bill Alfonso's hotel room, like go right ahead. I'm not going to judge you."
Would have you kept that secret?
Oh no, I tell everybody that story.
Okay.
It is so funny to me that like Fonzie flirted with my mom. That is like one of my favorite stories to tell people.
Okay, say she went back to his room. I'm not seeing anything physical happen, but would you, and she said to you, listen, don't tell your dad. We just went back, we drank all night. Would you keep that?
So, I mean, it's fine because my parents are divorced. So like
Okay.
my dad has no
Oh,
stake in
so
that.
he's fine.
Yeah,
He's got
my
his
dad
own
has
thing
no
going
claim to
on.
that stake anymore. So
Oh,
like,
okay.
yeah, that's
Totally.
fine. I think I would still tell him because I think it'd be funny. Then he'd be like, Christina, why are you telling me this? And it's
Yeah,
like,
would
well,
he
I
know
don't
who Bill
know.
Alfonso was if you told him?
Oh no,
Like
yeah,
just,
my dad knows who Bill Alfonso
oh,
is. Yeah.
okay.
He used to watch like wrestling in the 90s too, so.
So what's anything cooking for 2023 that's out of the ordinary for you that you'll be trying?
Not really. I mean, other than like I plan on wrestling more and like actually doing like more wrestling exclusive bookings. So that's gonna be different for me. But other than that, I've got my dates lined up for my shows. I've got my usual companies. I'm looking to knock a couple new companies off, but like
Yeah, that's a, that I was going to ask you, if anything like that you're looking forward to that you've never, that you've never worked for before.
I've got some bucket lists, not bucket lists, but like I've got some like checklist stuff that I want to do. Like GCW is on there. I really want to work a GCW show. I want to travel outside the country and be able to do something in Canada, and be able to work up there. Like those are my two like really big ones, but anything else that kind of comes with that, I'm excited for whatever.
Okay, up to this point, what day is today? December something, November something.
November like 13th, I think.
13th. Yeah, let's call it the 13th.
Yeah.
Are you proud of what you've done up to this point?
Oh yes.
Okay, good.
Like throughout my entire career, and then especially just this past year alone, I've done more than I thought I would ever do. I knocked everything off of my list that I wanted to do this year, and then I've added things on top of it. And I've just 2022 was a great year for me. So I'm like, everything is just gonna go up from here, I think.
You wake up on the days that you wake up on a Saturday morning and you're gonna ref that night or you're doing commentating or something. Do you wake up th feeling like, ugh, I gotta go to work tonight? Or is it like, oh, this is gonna be, I'm gonna have such a great night tonight?
It's more so like I don't wake up dreading the show. I wake up dreading that travel time that I have to put in for these shows usually. So like I'll wake up at 6 in the morning and I'm like, oh crap, I have to get on the road by 7 to get to this venue by call time, which is 2 o'clock. And like that's the part that I dread, but everything else, like I'm excited for the show. I'm excited to see my friends that are on the shows. I'm excited to be able to work in front of the crowds that I get to work in front of. Like there's never really a show that I like dread going to.
Oh, okay. So it's still like so much fun.
Yes, absolutely. I always say like the day wrestling stops being fun is the day that you should just get out of the business. 'Cause at that point,
Yeah.
if you're not having fun, nobody else is going to be having fun watching you or working with you. So like just take a break
Yeah.
or just quit.
All right. I've learned a lot. But before I let you go, can I ask you some questions that are just yes or no questions?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'm just gonna ask you five of them.
Okay, sure.
Have you ever pretended that you were deaf?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you burp on command?
No, I cannot.
Neither can I. Never been able to. Can you flip your eyelids inside out?
I probably could, but it would make me really like
I
skeevy
hate,
to do it.
yeah, I hated when kids would do that, or like my kids trying to do it. Anyways, let's get back to you. Okay, this one's gonna make you think. For $19.2 million, okay, would you have a tail surgically attached back to your body? And it could do things like holding utensils to eat or holding your phone while you're doing something. $19.2 million. Would you?
Yes, have absolutely. Okay. Yes, I would absolutely do that. That sounds fun.
Okay. I think so as well. I think it would help so many things, especially like in driving / eating.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, speaking of eating, are you a fan of the McRib sandwich?
I've had it before. It's definitely not my favorite thing to order on the menu, but like if I have to, I'll eat it.
Yeah, it tastes good. You just can't look at it, you know, like yes. Just got to pick it up. And okay. And finally, and you're doing awesome. Do you think that people should have to take an exam before they're allowed to have children?
It would probably help a lot. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Okay. Would you ever let one of your kids play football without a helmet?
Flag football? Sure. Tackle football? Probably not, knowing what I know about concussions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good. That was six questions. I apologize. It should have only been five, but you did awesome on both. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
This exercise. Kat, so when are you going to be performing or announcing or reffing anything next?
This upcoming weekend, I actually have St. Louis Anarchy. I'm going to be re-announcing that on Saturday. Oh, wow. And then I have a show on Sunday in the Chicagoland area that I'm going to be reffing on.
Oh, awesome. And then you'll be at the New Wave Pro show in Thanksgiving?
Yep. I will be at the New Wave show that weekend. And then Naptown is that Sunday too. So I will be doing that in Indianapolis.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on a Sunday night.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
To be with me. I don't think I would have been alone regardless, because I don't think anyone in my home wants to spend time with me anymore, but that's my issue, not yours. thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. And it was, I learned a lot, and sometimes I jokingly say that, but I actually did. So thank you for coming on and answering my questions, even though some of them may have been ignorant. And I hope I didn't disparage Davenport or anything.
No, you're all good.
Sometimes I'll ask someone, did you guys have a movie theater in your town? But then once you said that Davenport was, you know, had tens of thousands of people, I pulled back from that question.
Right.
All right.
You're good.
Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving coming up. And
thank you.
Hope to have you on again.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kat.